Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Are American Indians of Semitic heritage? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me to answer that question is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. If you were to read the Book of Mormon, you would find that it speaks primarily of two groups of people, Nephites and Lamanites. And if you read through it, you'll find that the Nephites were, for the most part, the good guys in the story, and the dark-skinned Lamanites were really the bad guys. According to Mormon lore, they believe that the Lamanites are really the ancestors of the American Indian. And there's some very unique attributes that are given to the American Indian according to the Mormon leaders of the 19th century. And that's what we are looking at. What did Mormon leaders have to say about this subject during the 19th century? And we can find the answers to those questions in the Journal of Discourses. And so we continue our series of looking at the Journal of Discourses to find out what did Mormon leaders say on this particular topic. We're going to first go to Brigham Young, who on May 8, 1853, in the Journal of Discourses, Volume 1, page 106, what did he say about this?
He said, "Do you pray for Israel? You will no doubt answer in the affirmative. These Indians are the seed of Israel through the loins of Joseph, who was sold into Egypt. They are the children of Abraham and belong to the chosen seed. Were it not so, you would never have seen them with dark red skins. This is in consequence of the curse that has been placed upon them, which never would have come upon them in the world, had their fathers not violated the order of God, which was formerly among them. For in proportion to the light they sinned against, so were they reduced by the curse of God."
Now, let me stop you there, Eric, because here again, we find this pattern in Mormon thought that skin color has something to do with your spirituality. And we've often said we need to make sure that we don't confuse the seed of Cain, those who are of African heritage, with the Lamanite people who are really of Semitic heritage. Because as you've just read, Brigham Young is making it clear that these Indians are the seed of Israel through the loins of Joseph, who was sold into Egypt. They are children of Abraham and belong to the chosen seed. So the Lamanite people, the American Indian, have a prominent place in the Book of Mormon story. But as we see, the reason they had those dark red skins was because they violated some of God's principles, and we read about that story in the Book of Mormon. Go on, where he says they are of the house of Israel.
"They are of the house of Israel, and the time has come for the Lord to favor Zion and redeem Israel. We are here in the mountains with these Lamanites for our neighbors, and I hesitate not to say, if this people possess the faith they ought to have, the Lord Almighty would never suffer any of the sons of Jacob to injure them in the least. No, never."
Now, he goes on in another speech that he gives on December 3rd, 1854. So this is not quite, this is about, a year and a half later.
Yes.
He says this. He says, "Here are the Lamanites, another example. Their wickedness was not so great as those who slew the Son of God." And we know that he's talking about the Jewish people in this context. "Jesus revealed himself to them after he was slain, preached to them the gospel. But in the fourth generation, the priesthood was driven from their midst, and after that, the laws, ordinances, and power of the gospel ceased to be with them. Is their curse as great as that of those in Palestine? No, it is light in comparison. They began to thirst for each other's blood and massacred each other from generation to generation until they sunk into wickedness and evil principles, the most degrading, and have become loathsome and vile. Still, the curse will be removed from them before it will be removed from the children of Judah, and they will become a white and delightsome people." Now, he introduces here another attribute to the Lamanite people. Not only did Brigham Young and others of his time believe that the American Indians were of Semitic heritage or of Jewish heritage, they also taught that there would be a time after the Lamanites embraced what Mormons believe to be the gospel, the Mormon gospel, that their skin color would actually turn white and they would be a delightsome people. Now, to show that this just wasn't Brigham Young's opinion, George A. Smith, who at the time he made this comment was an apostle in the Mormon church, he would later go on to become a member of the First Presidency. He agreed. What did he say about this skin color?
Yeah, and he says this on April 6, 1856. He said, "Many of us have formerly been very anxious to be made partakers of the privilege of civilizing the Indians, but now we have become exceedingly annoyed with the loose conduct of some of them and may have felt a bloodthirsty disposition towards them. The Lord has placed us in a position through which we are brought in contact with them and requires us to use all reasonable exertion to reclaim the fallen remnants of Israel." He goes on and says later on page 287, right column, "After the remnants of Israel shall be gathered, in not many generations shall pass away before they shall become a white and delightsome people."
Now, why is this a problem? Why is this whole concept not only just strange to our ears, but why does it become a problem for modern Latter-day Saints? I think the first problem, of course, is it never happened. Yeah. We didn't see the Lamanite people really turning white, even though there were comments by Mormon leaders to that effect. For instance, this is Spencer Kimball. He gave this statement in a conference report in October of 1960. You'll find this on page 34. He said, "The day of the Lamanites is nigh. For years they have been growing delightsome, and they are now becoming white and delightsome as they were promised. In this picture of the 20 Lamanite missionaries, 15 of the 20 were as light as Anglos. 5 were darker but equally delightsome. The children in the home placement program in Utah are often lighter than their brothers and sisters in the Hogans on the reservation." I might explain, if you don't understand what that is, the Mormon Church had a program called the Indian Placements Program or something like that, where they would take Native Americans off the reservation and put them into Mormon homes and such, and they would learn Mormonism. He mentions how at one meeting, a father and mother and their 16-year-old daughter were present. The little member girl, 16, sitting between the dark father and mother, and it was evident she was several shades lighter than her parents, on the same reservation, in the same Hogan, subject to the same sun and wind and weather. There was the doctor in a Utah city who for 2 years had an Indian boy in his home who stated that he was some shades lighter than the younger brother just coming into the program from the reservation. "These young members of the church are changing to whiteness and to delightsomeness." One white elder jokingly said that he and his companions were donating blood regularly to the hospital in the hope that the process might be accelerated.
Would you say that he was being completely forthright? He's not joking around on this?
He's not joking. No, I think he's very serious. The problem, of course, is Brigham Young, George A. Smith, Orson Pratt, and then we have Spencer Kimball, are all pointing to 2 Nephi 30 verse 6 as a proof text for why they believe that dark-skinned Lamanites would eventually turn white if they embrace the Mormon gospel.
And that was during the days of Spencer Kimball. He was seeing it fulfilled, he believed. And this is not that long ago. This is only 52 years ago. We're not talking 19th century. This was something believed by a prophet who made it into the 1970s.
Now, but why is this not only a small complication for Mormons? Well, it's really not a small complication. It's a large complication. The reason being, folks, is in the 1980s, the Mormon Church changed the text in the Book of Mormon.
1981.
It no longer says in the Book of Mormon that dark-skinned Lamanites are going to turn white and delightsome. They changed the word to pure.
3 years after the revelation in 1978, with all of that happening there, I mean, I don't know if that had a connection at all.
Oh, I'm sure it probably had some connection, but they would argue that the reason that they turned it to, or changed it to pure was because in one of the early editions of the Book of Mormon, it was changed to pure. But for some reason, it was changed back to white after that edition and remained saying white and delightsome up until, as you said, that 1981 edition. Here's the question I have. Well, what did Joseph Smith read off of the stone?
That's it.
Remember, he had the rock in the hat, and he's reading the characters off of the stone to his scribe. We have to assume he read the word white. That was in the original first edition of the Book of Mormon.
Could the printer have made a mistake with white and pure?
They might argue that he did, but why was it changed back? We don't know, but the fact remains. Regardless of all that, the fact remains that Mormon leaders took it the way it read, white and delightsome, and they are commenting on that reading. Even Spencer Kimball, in a conference message, and we have been told by Mormon leadership, if you want to hear the voice of God speaking through his servants, listen to conference messages. Here is Spencer Kimball saying that there are some Indians that are actually turning shades lighter when they were in the Indian placement program, embracing Mormonism, and he felt that this prophecy was coming to pass. Now, of course, when you read the Book of Mormon, it doesn't say what he says. It doesn't say white and delightsome. Was Spencer Kimball misled?
Well, if you're a recent convert in the last, literally 30 years practically, I mean, you're going to not know about this, really.
Exactly. A person joining the Mormon Church today being handed a modern edition of the Book of Mormon would never even know that that's how that verse read originally and would assume that it only means pure. Of course, the problem is there are other verses in the Book of Mormon that also speak of skin color. So they may have changed 2 Nephi 30 verse 6, but they did not change some of the other passages that were connected with 2 Nephi 30 verse 6 when it comes to the changing of skin color. So we still find the dark skin being mentioned. So they weren't actually consistent, and they probably should have been. Well, actually, they shouldn't have made the change at all if the Book of Mormon was really translated by the gift and power of God, as Mormons are led to believe.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wanted to go to the Holy Land? It's the place where Jesus walked, a place of great significance in our Bibles. In late February of 2013, Mormonism Research Ministry and Utah Lighthouse Ministry are hosting an 11-day trip to Israel. Among other places, we will experience baptism in the Jordan River, walk through Hezekiah's Tunnel, explore Masada, and float in the Dead Sea. During our trip, we plan to spend a day with Israeli resident Joel Kramer, a former Utah pastor and current film producer, who will take us to Cave One and Qumran and Jericho as well. In addition, a 7-day pre-extension tour to Turkey is available. Your price includes all transportation, admission fees, meals and taxes, and tips. If you've never been to the Holy Land, or even if you have, join Bill McKeever, Sandra Tanner, and several local Utah pastors for the trip of a lifetime. It all begins February 19th, 2013. Visit theapologeticstudybibletour.com for more information or call 602-788-8864.